to God. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're only going to read two verses tonight because I'm going to try to save a little bit of time. I'm honestly hoping I'm going to crash land by 7 o'clock if I'm not done. But 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read verses number 8 and 9. I'll read verse 8, you join me on verse 9, and then I'm going to pray. You can be seated, and then we're going to just jump right into the sermon real quick here. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the word of God. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, take the truth of this morning and combine it with the truth of tonight so that we might be able to make it through and be found faithful when we get to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me review quickly. There was those of you in junior church and nurseries and other places today. And I want to just catch you up. Give me about 4 minutes to preach a sermon that I preached in 40 minutes this morning. I am sick and tired of the devil winning. Sick and tired of the wimpiness of our generation. I call this no wimpy Christians. Seems like in our society today, Christians are giving in to the devil. We're giving up. We're letting the devil win the battle. And let me say this, I'm not about to let the devil win. I am sick and tired of everybody cowering to the devil. Like a bunch of politicians, like the Republican Party, nobody wants to stop the liberalism and the wrong, doesn't matter what party is attached to it. It's not I said this morning, the problem today is not how loud and how evil the day is, it's how quiet the good people are and the people that have the truth. It's not a matter of we don't have the truth. It's a matter of we're not standing up for the truth. And it's about time we get some backbone in our country and do something about it. People do not go down in history for being pacifists. They go down in history for standing for something. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, D.L. Moody, J. Frank Norris weren't a bunch of pussyfooters. They stood strong. Everybody doing all right? Now, we don't have to agree with everybody, but thank God somebody's got enough courage and backbone to stand. Now, everybody seems to get offended these days. I might as well be incorrect again. I said this morning, it seems unless you're a half man, half woman, black, white, Latino, Christian, polytheist, conservative, liberal, then you're offensive. If you're not everything mixed together, then you offend me. Well, first of all, they don't know what the word offend means. Hurting your feelings isn't being offended, just so you know. An offense is far worse than just you having hurt feelings. Well, we live in such a bully society. Preacher, I had some pussyfooter preacher. He said, well, you're one of those bully preachers, aren't you? I said, you got it right. I'm a bull. I said, I'm not some effeminate little cow like you. I said, I'm not a heifer that hadn't had babies yet. I said, I believe in soul winning. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun now, amen? I'm getting worked up. The problem today isn't politicians. It's not abortion. It's not the news. It's not society. The problem today is we got wimpy Christians that are afraid to stand up for right. Now, there's four times the devil's most likely to attack you. I said number one this morning, when you're tired. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. When you have a tired mind, when you're tired of body. And I talked about making major decisions when you're tired in different things. Then, number two, when you have an unknowing or an ignorant mind. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Folks, we're not supposed to be ignorant about the devil. And I went into a little tangent on that. Listen to it online when it comes on in a day or two. You'll find out. Make sure you got a good player because it could smoke a little bit, all right? Then, number three. The third time the devil's most likely to attack is when you have an impure mind. Look at the filth of our society today. Look at the attack. Do you know that the average billboard in America today shows more skin than Playboy did 60 years ago? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If you're a parent and have children, having your children look through the ads from the stores, you're an idiot. There is more pornography in the ads from the stores that come in the newspaper today than used to be in Playboy. And we wonder, they can't sell a car without nakedness. They can't sell a candy bar without somebody being naked. Good night. We live in such a filthy, vile society. They tell me there's TV shows out there about people that run around totally naked. What a filthy, vile society that we have. We have an unpure mind. By the way, when you're what you're watching on the TV and what you're doing on the internet, that's when the devil's going to attack you. Just be careful. Number four, and I must hurry, when you have an unbelieving heart. Maybe the most important statement I said this morning is this: man is not capable of telling God what God must do and where we must meet God. Man has a way of saying, God, these are the terms you're going to meet me under, and this is the terms that I'm going to live by. If you don't like it, tough. Well, I hate to tell you, you're the sinner, not God. God doesn't have to cowtail to you. You're supposed to do what God said. Who are you to tell God under what terms you'll obey him? You know, when I was 10, 11 years old, I didn't look at my dad and say, Dad, these are the terms under which I'll live under your roof. He'd have helped me pack what was mine. Say, what was that? Nothing. I'd have left with nothing. Say, why? Because it wasn't my job to tell my dad under what terms I would do things. He made it clear in no uncertain terms I'd do it his way. Everybody on board there? All right. By the way, that's the way it used to be in America at the workforce too. You know, you didn't used to be that people told the boss how to run his business. They didn't complain to the boss. I remember the first job I got. My dad said this. He said, son, is that what your wages are going to be? I said, yes, sir. He said, then I never want to hear you complain about it because you're agreeing to it. And when you tell that man you'll work for that, don't you ever complain to him or me about it. You know, I've never complained about my wages one time because I still fear my daddy. Amen. He said, if you're dumb enough to work for that little amount, then you're dumb enough to make that little amount. If you think you can make more, go make more. But don't complain about it because you agreed to work for that. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that's good stuff. He said, if I find out you ever asked for a raise, he said, I'll go to your boss and tell him, cut your pay. He said, don't you dare ask for a raise. He said, you earn it, you don't ask for it. Thank God I had a dad that had character, amen? Now, those are the four times. Those were extra, just so you know. All right. Now, there are those are the four times that the devil's most likely to attack. Now, tonight's sermon. The Bible tells us how we can beat the devil. Let me say this right here. You are no match in your flesh against the devil. I don't care who you are no match for the devil. He's smarter than you. He's more powerful than you. He is the fourth most powerful being in the universe. He is only behind God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was the highest of the archangels. Everybody doing all right? You're no match for that in your flesh. But my Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit of God moves in, you get the power of God to be able to fight the devil. Here's the problem. You want to fight the devil in your flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. You fight him in the flesh, you're going to lose. I fight him in the flesh, I lose. I must do it with something more powerful than I. And again, I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm not trying to get into a confrontation here. And I don't think we're necessarily wrong for saying this. But when you get saved, Jesus doesn't move in. The Holy Spirit does. Your spirit is rebirthed by the Holy Spirit moving in. Okay? That's who moves in. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. By the way, the Holy Spirit is a he. Everybody doing okay? Now, watch this. Here we go. How do we battle the devil? You know, that's what I love about the Bible. God not only tells us what we're to do, he tells us how to do it. All right? Look at verse number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. That means quit being a wimp. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say will devour. That's who lets him devour them. Then, verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast. Whom resist steadfast. God tells us how to whip the devil. Resist him steadfast. I love that term, steadfast. The word steadfast, the word fast, means fasten. The word stead means in place. To fasten in place. Redneck terminology, screwed into place. When you nail something together or screw it together, it's in place. It's not to move. You're putting that thing in place, and it's not gonna move. Yesterday, you fellas were binding up those concrete block with mortar, and as it dries, it's in place. It's not to move. Everybody doing okay? That means it's steadfast. It's not going to fall down. The wind's not going to blow it over. The rain's not going to topple it over. It's in place. It's firm. It's screwed into place. When we put those beams underneath that floor, amen, Brother Hawkins, we made sure that they were steadfast. They were fastened. You weren't going to pull them down. Not only did we get them wedged in there, but we nailed them. We did everything we could, and there's enough pressure on there. It's going to take that building falling down, and I think those posts will still stand up. Say why? We fastened them in there. They were steadfast, and God says, be steadfast in some things. Can I tell you how you're going to beat the devil? By being steadfast, not by being a wishy-washy Christian. Not by being one of these mamby-pamby little Christians. Well, I got my feelings hurt. Well, go on with your feelings hurt or not. Everybody doing okay? Here we go. Four areas we're supposed to be steadfast. Number one, be steadfast in Scripture. Be steadfast in Scripture. Folks, Adam and Eve got messed up because they messed up the Word of God. They did not listen to the words of God. God said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat. Guess what? They listened to the devil. Hey, it looks good, Eve. It'll make you wise. You could be like God. You could be God yourself, and you don't have to have God tell you what's right and wrong. You could be just like God. That is the beginning of humanism. It's actually Satanism. Let me tell you something. The King James Bible, these are God's words, not man's words. Peter did not write 1 Peter. It was written before there ever was a Peter. God wrote it in heaven before the foundation of the world. He gave it to Peter to write down, but they're not Peter's words. They weren't God's thoughts that came through Peter's mind. They were God's words as they were spoken by God. He spoke the world into existence, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and God spoke, and God said, and God spoke. Can I tell you something? Jesus used Scripture to defeat the devil. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. I've got to hurry here. Turn quickly. I'm going to start reading. And I want you to underline or circle in your Bible if you do that. Matthew chapter 4. It's in here somewhere. All right. Here we are. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Watch this. He is going toe to toe with the devil. This is the Son of God himself. Watch this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came, that's the devil, to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread, or be made bread. But he answered and said, watch this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, watch this, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, the Bible proceeded out of the mouth of God. It was spoken by God. It was inspired by God. The words of God are still inspired, or God is dead. Watch this. The devil taketh them up into the holy city. You say, why? Because round one was over, and Jesus won round one. We're on round two. Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city, setteth them on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Watch this. The devil even uses the Bible. It says, For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil was actually quoting scripture and using it against Jesus himself. By the way, the devil's very good at misquoting scripture, misusing scripture. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. By the way, notice it said, it is written. Those weren't the original documents either. They were copies. That's over 4,000 years had passed. Twice as long as it's been since Jesus was on the face of the earth. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, round two is over, going to round three. And again, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth unto him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. And then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Notice that? It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Can I tell you how you beat the devil? You beat the snot out of him with the word of God. Amen. When you get tempted by the devil, go to where it is written. It is written. Well, I'm just so discouraged with everything going on in the world today. Folks, I read the last chapter. We win. What are you discouraged about? The worse it gets, the closer to going to heaven we are. Well, I just don't always understand. Then go to where it's written in, and God will give you the understanding to beat the devil. Well, I've got grown kids, and they're not living right. Okay, they have to answer to God for it. You live right. I'm not mad at anybody. I've been through all this mess. Can I tell you something? These are God's words. Jesus used scripture to battle the devil. And may I say this, if Jesus had to use the Bible to beat the devil with, what chance do you have without the Bible? You have got to know this book, not just facts, but live it. I don't care how many facts about the Bible you know, how much are you living? How much are you applying to your life? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that means live in the Bible. Read the Bible. Listen to the Bible preached by a real kind of preacher, not these radio guys with lace on their underwear. I'm not talking about Charles Stanley and Chucky Swindoll either. They don't even use the Bible. They're using the NIV or the New King James. Everybody doing all right? Saying, I don't think you should call names. Okay, don't call names. I will. Be steadfast in Scripture. I got to hurry. I got 16 minutes left. Number two, be steadfast in your salvation. Be steadfast in your salvation. Can I tell you something? I thank God when I got saved, somebody didn't mess with my head saying you could lose your salvation. Folks, when you get saved, you got it forever, whether you wanted it or not. Just so you know, you cannot lose your salvation. Let me ask you a question. Can you be unborn? Well, if you can't be unborn, you can't be unborn again. Whether my mom and dad are proud of me or not isn't the issue. My mama ain't going to have me again. After 48 years, she don't want to go through that process with a body this size, amen? Say, why? I'm not, and by the way, I ain't going through that process again. Can I tell you something? You can't get unborn and you can't get unborn again. Once you're saved forever. I thank God back at the old Canton Baptist Temple under Dr. Henniger back in the early 1970s as a little kindergartner. I was listening to a man that lost his leg in Vietnam, had a wooden leg. Now, I'm not talking about a real, I mean, we're talking Captain Hook wooden leg. He was a scary creature. Got up and preached about hell one day in a primary church, and I tugged on my Sunday school teacher's dress, and I said, I don't want to die and go to a place like that. We went off to the side, knelt down in a little kindergartner-style chair, and she won me to Jesus Christ, and I've been saved ever since. That was about 44, 43 years ago. Guess what? I'm still saved. and I haven't gotten over it yet. My name's written in heaven. I never have to go to hell. My sins are already cared for. I'll never face judgment for them. I've been forgiven. I have no condemnation. I get air and I have access to everything that God and Jesus Christ are. Hey, what do I have to be upset about? I'm not afraid to go soul winning. People are afraid of me. I'm not afraid of them. Now, I'll be honest with you. My flesh is like yours. I hope they're not home. But boy, as soon as that I hear that of the door, it's like, okay, here we go. And something snaps inside me. I got that old gospel track in my hand. I'm saying, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? All of a sudden, something happens, Brother Gus. You say, what is it? The Holy Spirit that's inside takes over. And the very one I think, who, you know, you got the long-haired maggot smoking on a joint coming to the door. Yeah, man, what's up? I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be bad. That's the one that gets saved. The guy that comes to the door all dressed in a suit and stuff is the guy that's going to slam at my face probably. The guy I think's going to get saved doesn't. The one I don't think so is going to get it. Say why? Because it's God, not me. Boy, that's good stuff. Hey, get your salvation nailed down. Some of you get too wishy-washy. Well, I'm not sure about my family. I just don't see it in them. You're not supposed to see it in anybody else. If you worry about your own salvation. If they told you they got saved, you don't have anything else to worry about. If they're not saved, God will convict them of it. Well, I don't see any fruit of it. You're not the inspector. God is. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Get your salvation screwed into place. Can I tell you something? You resist by being nailed into place. Resist means when there's an attack, you're pushing against what's pushing against you. There's a force coming against you, but you have a stronger force to push against. It's kind of like football. Now, when you're 5'8", and when I was in high school, I weighed about 115 pounds with my pockets full of bananas. You don't go up against these 250, 300-pound linemen. But you do use something called speed and get around these turkeys, amen? But there wasn't a lineman in the world. My dad will tell you, he taught me, you just get in there and hit them. You might bounce, but hit them anyway. Sometimes I was like a gnat or a mosquito hitting something, but I hit it anyway. Folks, resist. That means you got to know the scriptures. You got to be steadfast in scripture. Number two, you got to be secure, steadfast in your salvation. Get it nailed down and quit worrying about it. Quit worrying about it. When I go soul winning, somebody said, well, yeah, I'm saved. I'll say, what do you mean by that? Was there ever a time where you realized you're a sinner, where you realized your sin take you to hell and that you needed Jesus Christ, you trusted what he did and that alone to take you to heaven? No, that's not what I did. Well, then you need to get saved. If they say, yeah, that's what I did, guess what? They're saved. Who am I to judge that? That's between them and God. Everybody doing all right? Yes, by the way, if you believed you could lose it when you got it, you didn't get it. Amen. Number three, 11 minutes. Be steadfast in your church. Yes. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, the book of Hebrews says. Yes, sir. I think you all get screwed into place in your church. I just believe in that. My daughter, her last Sunday at our church is next Sunday. She'll be going to Bible college 2 weeks from today. For the first time in her life, she'll be a member of a church her mom and dad aren't a member of. But she's been instructed the first Sunday she's at church to walk an aisle and join that church because Brother Fugit will become her pastor at Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church because that's what she's supposed to do. Everybody doing all right? Yes, sir. I'm having fun here. Jump in. The water's fine. Be part of it. Amen. I'll promise you. That means be faithful. Yes, sir. I love my mom and dad. That's why I ate at their house today. I'm part of the family. Now, my wife and daughter made food and took over there today because they cooked last week. And mom's been down with her knee replacement and the replacement of the replacement and all that other stuff that went on. And so they were trying to help out a little bit. But we still sat there and ate. And I went home and took a nap. Amen. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I enjoy being with my family. I do. Can I tell you something? Isn't that what family's supposed to do? This is our family. This is Grace Baptist Church family. Jump in. The water's fine. Be faithful to it. Let me say this. Support it with your finances. That's what God said for you to do. You're supposed to tithe. I'm not looking for the money, but you're supposed to give the way you're supposed to give. Support its programs. Well, we're doing something, but I just don't like that. Well, I've done a lot of things in life I don't like. You think I liked being in the basement of that church yesterday? That was not the place in the world I wanted to be yesterday. You think these guys wanted to be out sweating in the sun, laying block yesterday? I don't think that was the most picturesque place in idea of a perfect Saturday for them. But can I tell you something? It was the will of God, and we had a great time. I enjoyed watching Brother Barnes push his foot through the floor about 3 different times. I enjoyed Brother Wiley stepping from the concrete to the wood floor and falling through once. Now, wait a minute. We laughed at each other. We were all laughing at Brother Hawkins. Say why? Because it's just fun to do. Then I started really laughing when Brother Barnes pulls his steel chainsaw out and starts cutting holes in the floor and cutting a wall down. I'm thinking, only in West Virginia do you use chainsaw in a basement, amen, to fix it up. Man, good thing we had a couple fans down there to blow it out, amen, because it was getting rough. Wait a minute, we ought to support it. That wasn't my idea of the perfect activity. Just so you know. Say, what's your idea of a perfect activity? Let's go somewhere and eat that's air-conditioned. Man, we sweat, we stunk, we smelled like a bunch of old barred mules, and we smelled worse than Joe's milking barn. But let me tell you, you wouldn't have seen a happier group of people in your life. Say, why? Because we were doing it. It was fun. Just get involved. Teenagers, get involved, whether you like doing the activity or not. If it's no fun, it's your fault. I can have fun at anything I do. I promise you. I'm probably the worst person in the world to go out to eat with because I play. I throw paper. We shoot spit wads. Amen, Miss Arlene. We do all kinds of things. Say what? I believe in having fun. I poke fun at the waitresses as long as I think they can take it. You say, what is that? Hey, just get screwed into place. Have fun. Quit being so insecure about life. Some of you, well, I wonder what everybody's thinking about me. You know, I don't give a rip what everybody else thinks about me. I'm doing what God wants. I care what He thinks, and everybody else, it doesn't matter. I'm like everybody else. I'm battling the battle of the bulge. I'm at the age where it's not as easy to come off. It goes on easy and comes off screaming, amen? I think I'm going to adopt Brother Heil's philosophy of losing weight. It keeps dropping the older I get. Maybe I'll live long enough to where it'll fall out my feet. I don't know. But I'm hoping so, amen? My chest already fell to my waist, and I'm hoping it goes to my feet, but... let's just face it, it's going to happen. But can I tell you something? I'm not so worried about, are you the perfect weight? Nobody's the perfect weight. Nobody. I've seen women as big as my little finger, and I weigh too much. They look like a pencil with arms and legs. Forget it. Forget yourself. You are what you are. Let's make it the best we can, but let's not worry about what we look like necessarily. Let's clean it up, be what God wants us to be. I'd rather do what I'm supposed to do and obey God than be all worried about what everybody else thinks. Shoot, if I worried about what everybody thought about me, I wouldn't preach most of what I preach. It's not easy getting up and preaching while people are glaring at you, just so you know. I knew I hit a nerve when I hit flopping on the floor and jiggling like a fish out of water this morning when two people were going, uh-oh, don't look that way on that one anymore, amen. I'm going to come over where it's friendly fire. I looked at Brother Mike and he hollered, amen. I thought, I'm coming over here for a while, amen. Be steadfast in your church. Be steadfast in your salvation. Be steadfast in Scripture, number 4, and I have 5.5 minutes. Be steadfast in your service to God. Be steadfast in your service to God. I could not be more proud of this church. I can't. Not just for this weekend. 31 weeks out of 32 weeks in a row this year, we've had visitors. The last 39 weeks of 2014, we had visitors 37 weeks out of the last 39 weeks of last year. Do you realize that 68 weeks out of about 71 weeks, we've had visitors? Yes, sir. By the way, they're not all mine. I've had a lot tell me no too, or not show up. My daughter had visitors all lined up today. I think she had 4 or 5 visitors lined up for the day. I walked in this morning, 5:30, picked up the phone. There was a message. This is so-and-so. Can you tell Mindy I had prior commitments? I can't come and tell the folks coming to get me that we won't be there. I thought, oh, this is a wonderful way to start the day. But look what God did anyway. That's what God does. I am so proud of this church. By the way, according to John chapter 13, Jesus said the greatest of these are servants. Can I tell you something? To be used of God, there's nothing better. Nothing better. I was watching Brother Mike, and I was thanking him the other day for all that he helped us get organized for the project that we did. And he said, "Preacher, this is what God gave me to do. I'm serving God." Amen. I watched our men yesterday. We're just serving God, preacher. Whew. I don't know about you. That humbled me. I was in the van with Brother Okola, and he said, "What can I do for your church and your men?" And I said, "You just keep serving God." I said, "Don't you give up, Brother Kevin. Don't you give up." I said, "You just keep doing what you're supposed to do." I said, "That's what our men want. That's why they're here, to make it a little easier for you to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's payment enough for us." I said, "You couldn't pay us enough money." He said, "I know that." I said, "We don't want you stinking money. We want you serving God. We want you reaching people. We want your church safe and your church people happy and serving God, doing what we're doing." I said, "Maybe someday, as your church gets a little stronger and a little better, somebody else is going to need help, and you can take a group of guys somewhere and do what we just did." I said, "Isn't that what it's all about?" He just sat there and wept, put his hands in his face and just started weeping. He said, "Brother Bush," he said, "you and I have known each other a long time." He said, "But I've never seen Christianity like this." He said, "I'm used to doing it, not getting it." He said, "It's a whole lot more awkward on the getting side than the giving side." I said, "I understand that, but quit being so proud and just accept it." I said, "My men need a chance to serve you." We were coming home last night. A couple of our men, I heard them talking, and they made this statement, and Brother Mike, I almost had to park the van. I said, "I'm thankful my preacher let us do this." I'm humbled. Good night. You guys can work circles around me in that stuff. It's just an opportunity to serve and to help people. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes, sir.
Let's do that here. Let's do that everywhere we go. We ought to be the most loving people. That doesn't mean we have to be pussyfooting, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nippings, whatever Brother Hiles used to say. Bunch of pussyfooters. Good night. You know, you can love people and still be tough. There wasn't one squishy guy out there. Squishy guys wouldn't have lasted getting into the van yesterday. We were coming back from the property, and we added a couple people to the van to get back. And Joe got in there and squished in there. Man, these guys were like, "Hey, there ain't enough room in here. Somebody got to move, amen." Now, wait a minute. Thank God for men that know how to have fun and love each other. Serve. Let's serve God together. Let's support one another. When somebody's down, let's love on them. When somebody's sick, let's run to their aid. Let's help them up. By the way, when somebody falls and makes a mistake, let's go pick them up, not kick them when they're down.
That's good.
It's in one of these churches where somebody makes a mistake and the preacher's going to call them up and make them stand on the platform and tell everybody what bad they did. That's gossip, and that's out of hell. Everybody doing all right? When you get to heaven, you're not going to have to do that to God, because if you're saved, it's under the blood and God doesn't even see it. Why do you want to know what it is anyway? A bunch of stinking gossips, all that mess is. We ought to be there to lift them up, not kick them when they're down. Satan has destroyed way too many people already. Satan's destroyed way too many Christians already. Let's go out there and reclaim them. Let's go out there and get them. Let's go out and get the lost and win them to Christ and bring them in and make them members of the family. Amen. By the way, I'm done. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You have all the wherewithal to whip him. You have all the wherewithal to whip him. Quit being afraid of him. Let's stand up and do something great in this area. Let's stand up and reach Berkeley and Jefferson County. Let's reach Winchester. Let's reach this whole area for God. By the way, they know we're here. Oh, they know we're here. Let's just go win them and reach them one at a time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's get ourselves screwed into place. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you've been saved, you need to obey the Lord. If you need to join this church, join the church. Jump in. The water's fine. I promise you. Whatever it is that you need to get yourself screwed into place, the devil's battling you. Your emotions are being battled. Can I tell you why? You're such an emotional basket case because you're trying to fight it in your flesh and not with the Spirit.